You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano, we greet you here today. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had an awesome weekend. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Monday with me here as we together study the Word of God together. We sit under the authority of the Word. Let's let the Word of God speak here today. Now, today we're going to eavesdrop in and we're gonna sneak into this pastor's office that is the spiritual leader, this messenger of the church at Sardis. This is where we're up to in the book of Revelation. The Lord has been dictating a letter to John to give to the it says angel, but it's angelos in this case is going to be messenger. Perhaps the pastor, the spiritual leader of seven churches. Today, it's the dead church of Sardis. This is part two of this sermon here. You'll hear my Sunday sermon on the radio here Tuesday and Wednesday coming up. But without further ado now, let's get into the word here. Let's read this letter that the Lord sent to the spiritual leader in Sardis.
I can see it now. Come to the first church of the local heretic, where our worship is alive. You can see that on Facebook. Or plastered in restaurants on the roof. The first church of the local heretic. Where we don't care how you live. Why should we care? Jesus already died for your sin. Why should we care how you live? So they have a name that they lived. You can hear it again, right? We read your palms. We tell you what you want to hear. Never fear. We don't talk about sin here. Duane, I think I sound like Dr. Smith. Never fear. There's no sin here. I could fill this church in a New York minute with babble like that. You'll feel the same here at Sardis. Let's call them Sardis Christian Fellowship. You'll feel the same here at Sardis Christian Fellowship as you do when you go to Carrabba's or Long Doggers or the Bowling Alley. You see, the reputation of this church all over town is great. And the people there thought everything was okay, maybe because their attendance was way up. Maybe because they built a new wing for the children. We got all this money, everything's got to be okay, right? You see, they're deceived, you think it's okay, but he says, no, you're not okay. You're forgetting the important things. Success is not based on how much money you have. It's based on a changed life. Looking more like him this year than you did last 1st of October. Now, while up in heaven, Jesus writes a letter to this pastor. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. And he prefaced this statement with, I know your works, but in this case, not in a good way. Every other time he said that to the other churches, he was complimenting them for doing it right, not with these guys. He's not saying, I know your works in a good way. He's turning around what the pastor and the people thought was a positive, and he's turning it into a stinging rebuke. I know your works. As I look at this church, it seems to me they've got no commendation at all from the Son of God. Only a warning and correction. They got warning and correction. Verse 2, out of the New American Standard, the Lord Jesus says, wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. This is the word of Christ to the dead church today. Wake up, he says. You're in a dead church. Better, worse yet, you're the pastor of a dead church. He's telling them, wake up, pastor. Your church is dead. You are dead. You've lost it. You're tickling people's ears. Wake up. Wake up. You guys personally from Sardis Christian Fellowship are sleepwalking through your faith. And that's not good enough. Matter of fact, that kind of faith is no faith at all. It's dead because you're dead. D-E-A-D, dead. Wake up. Wake up or else, he says. Figure out what you're doing right and build on it. What are you doing right? Where are you lacking? Why are you dead? Again, I'll say it. If your pastor does not have a scalpel in his professional bag, then you are dead. I've heard Charles Stanley say that God has a bag as well. In God's bag, a saw. Ouch, right? Why does he always gotta use a saw on me? Also in God's bag is a chisel and some sandpaper for all of you. Just a little sandpaper, right? Little brush here, a little with some nice fine sandpaper. Never hurt anyone. With me, he's gotta use a saw. With you, sandpaper. Let's fix these problems here today. Now Jesus explains, verse 3, he says, all right, now he's going to give them the remedy here. He says, remember, so remember what you have received and heard and keep it and repent. Again, I'm reading out of the New American Standard, might read it a little different. He says, therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. So what's the remedy for a dead church? First off, notice, praise God, there is a remedy if you find yourself in a dead church or if you are dead. You can fix that today. There's a remedy for it. Now, I've got a list of five. Number one, the first remedy if you are dead or find yourself in a dead church, number one is wake up. Wake up. Wake up and smell the coffee. Time is short. God's hourglass is running out of sand. Wake up, look around. Now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed, Paul wrote. It's time to stop playing church. Even if it's just you, pastor, even if it's just you, and you wake up and scare all the believers away by your message, or with your scalpel, you scare everyone away. Wake up, even if it's just you, and everyone leaves. Just wake up. God will send in other people. He'll send in someone else if you don't like his scalpel, or if your pastor's got a little unction and wakes up and realizes that the Lord's return is near. He tries to motivate you guys. Wake up. Wake up. Do what he says, and you'll be all right. Look around you. The government now is trying to brand you in order to buy or sell. Are you dead or are you alive? The government has 80,000 new armed Internal Revenue Service agents. Are you dead? Art thou dead or art thou alive? Just wait until preaching the word of God is declared to be hate speech, like it is already in Canada. Where Danny works now, and Danny's the manager, I've said it before probably 100 times, where I was for 20 years, when he puts programs into the computer, there's different folders for Canada because you're not allowed to talk about sin to the radio program that airs in Canada. They have to hire a team of editors to edit out anything that offends you before he puts it in the folder. Michael Youssef, leading the way, that had to edit out anything that tries to wake people up and edit it out because we don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to let you know that you're a sinner in Canada. We want to be like the emperor's new clothes, walk around naked and do nothing and think that you look fine. See, that's what happened with these guys in this dead church. They thought they were fine. Everything's fine. Look at all the money we got in the bank account. Everything's fine. Jesus says, no, it's not. You're dead. So wake up. Wake up. The dead church is oblivious to the age that we live in and to the signs of the times. See, we're perilously close to the return of the Lord, and you're more concerned with selling your stock in Jewish companies than you are in smelling the coffee out here. What's the remedy for a dead church? Number two, remember. Remember, he says in verse 3, remember how it used to be. Back in the Old Testament, God instructed the Jews to erect some stones for a remembrance. So go back to where your stones of remembrance are. Remember back to where and when God moved mightily in your life. Remember! And go and get that back. Get that back. Remember when you were fervent in spirit and offended everyone in your family and you took no prisoners? Remember. Remember how it used to be and go and get that back. Number three, get your zeal back. Church, get your joy back and your excitement if you've lost it. Work in the church, kingdom work, and get excited again. Get your zeal for the Lord back if you've lost it or if you've just misplaced it. Get it back. There's no condemnation. There is no condemnation to us that are in Christ Jesus. Just get your joy back. Don't let this evil world chink away at your joy. Number four, have a revival. Not a camp meeting, a revival. If you're dead, you need to be revived, right? You're dead. Heaven forbid you coming here on a Tuesday or a Friday for a service, like that's going to hurt you or something. Or when the church doors are open, have a revival. Number five, repent. Make it right with God regarding your spiritual condition. King David wrote, Psalm 51:10, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Repent. We read in Proverbs 24:16, for a righteous man may fall, guess how many times? Seven. The righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. See, make it right with God. This is why Jesus died, even for you, so that you can get right with God. Again, repent. He's never going to get tired of you repenting. And when the proverb says seven times, again, we see that number in teaching and action. Seven doesn't mean seven and stop there. It's the number of perfection. When Peter asked the Lord, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Up to seven times? He literally meant the number seven. What did the Lord answer him? Right. He said, I do not say to you up to seven, but up to 70 times seven. All right. That's all five. Well, I'll give you this list again here coming up at the end. Next up, the threat. The threat. If you do not wake up. Now, the New King James and the King James says what? Watch. Like Pastor Darren's been preaching in here until he's blue in the face. God bless you. Boy, they sure don't like that message. Look up. Watch. Some of the greatest sermons ever preached out of this church. Through diligent study. This is what the Holy Spirit says. The Lord says, if you don't wake up or watch and look up, I am going to come upon you like a thief, he says, unexpectedly. So what does he mean by watch? What do thieves steal anyway? What does a thief steal? Valuables. He doesn't steal the junk. He steals valuables. The rest are left behind. The rest are left behind. He's saying, if you don't watch, I'm going to come on you like a thief in the night. He's going to steal all the valuables out of this world, and he's going to leave behind. That Greek word aphiemi is the Greek word for a divorce. What does he mean by watch? Listen to the Lord Jesus. For as the days that were before the flood, hey, this is, you can really relate to this one today. For in the days before the flood, like this morning, they were eating and drinking. See, what does this mean? This, what a perfect, thank you for this rain today. Maybe the Lord rained on us so we could understand this parable today. You see, for in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, meaning no one was paying any attention to everything that's going on outside those doors. Just like it was then when people were oblivious to the judgment of God. Men wearing dresses in the Marine Corps. All this other evil muck out here. Marrying, giving in marriage. Women marrying their cats in England. That's how you know when his return is near. For as in the days that were before the flood. You know what? If you could find Noah's Ark here today, I guarantee you what you would find on the outside of that ark. You know what it is? Like someone inside a coffin buried alive. Scratch marks. Scratch marks. Because people were sleepwalking out here. They were asleep. Didn't realize Jesus' return was near. And he's trying to wake everyone up. He says, wake up, people. He's talking to the pastor. And the pastor shared it with you. Wake up. How do you know Jesus' return is near? By the signs. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilence, COVID-19, famine all over the place. For as, let's try a fifth time, start this. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark. I've heard more Noah jokes today than I've heard in also in 20 years. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken. One will be divorced. Afiemi. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be paralambano, received near. One will be afiemi. One will be divorced. Then he says this. Watch, therefore. Watch. Watch. Remember, he's coming again. Hebrews 9:28. He's coming again a second time to all of you that look for him. He's coming back to all of you that are looking for him. All of you that have made an appointment with Ron's other daughter, the chiropractor, because your neck hurts. You got a crick in your neck from looking up. That's who he's coming back for. Everyone with sore necks. Watch therefore, for you know not the hour. Your Lord is coming. But know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch his thief was going to come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. This is what he means by watch. Everyone in here, from 6 years old to 90, should expect him to return in your lifetime. Regardless of if you're right or wrong, you should still expect him to come back on your watch. I expect him to come back on my watch, and I preach that way. I expect Jesus to come back on my shift. And I'll have to be accountable. Esposito, you are charged with preparing these people for my return. How do you plead? I'm innocent. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty. You're not going to say you didn't hear it here. This is what he means by watch. I don't have time to read it. Matthew 25 tells a parable about 10 virgins, the Bible calls it. 10 people waiting for their master. 5 were ready, 5 weren't. The master, the bridegroom returns. Those that are ready went in, those that weren't. It says they went to buy and the bridegroom came. And those that were ready went in with him to marriage and the door was shut. Just like Noah. Where is that in the Bible? Genesis 7:16. God shut the door on Noah's ark. Afterwards, the other versions came saying, "Lord, Lord, open for us." And he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye neither know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." All right, back to Revelation chapter 3. We're running really long today, and I'm not sorry. All you got to do is go out and get wet anyway. What's the big deal? Remember, Revelation 3:3. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, or again, New American Standard says, therefore, if you refuse to wake up, if you're just going to keep on sleepwalking out here and you don't give a rip, if you refuse to wake up, I will come upon you like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come. That is, you won't know when I'm going to do it either. I'm going to steal all my valuables and leave the rest behind. The rest are going to get divorced, and you don't know when it's going to happen. Nobody knows when it's happening. When he's coming, he's taking his valuables out of this world. Everyone else will get a, as they wanted so bad in Jerusalem, a certificate of divorce. You have a few names, verse 4, in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. And they, who would they be? Those that aren't defiled. You have a few names in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Notice why they're worthy. Because they kept themselves pure. Worthy because of the things they wouldn't do. They said no thanks to this evil world, full of its snares and traps. Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray always, you will be counted worthy to escape all of these things. All right, on to verse 5. We're taking in context. This verse really provokes me to think. Remember the context. Jesus is sore at these guys, at this pastor, at this dead church. There's been no commendation, only rebuke. And yet here comes the great promise of verse 5. The great promise is given to all overcomers from every age. It says, he who overcomes. All right, stop there. He who overcomes. This is a promise, not a threat. It's a promise, not a threat. It's a promise, not a threat. He says it to all seven churches. It's a promise, not a threat. To he who overcomes will be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What does he mean by this? He's not promising to take your name out of the book of life. Look at the verse. He's promised the opposite. He's promising that he won't, not that he will. He's promising you that he won't. He's promising you nothing can separate you between you and the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. He's promising you no one can snatch you out of his hands. This isn't a promise you're going to lose something. You didn't save yourself. You can't lose yourself. You didn't save yourself. God saved. Salvation is of the Lord, not of you. This is not a threat you're going to lose something. It's a promise that you won't. All you have to do is cross that finish line in faith and don't give up. Cross the finish line. Never give up on the Lord. Oh, just finish your life in faith. That's all you have to do. And he'll be there with you every step of the way to ensure that you do. It's a classic case of if and then. If you cross the finish line in faith, then there's not a blessed thing in this galaxy and beyond that'll remove your name from the Lamb's Book of Life. Now that's good news. There's no alternative for you, Christian. What alternative is there to you crossing the finish line in faith? There is none. There's only one option for you. crossing this finish line in faith. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you don't have ears to hear, you can stay in a dead church and you just don't care. And that's the Lord's letter to the pastor of the dead church at Sardis. Wake up, or watch. Jesus is coming back soon. And you'll know he's coming back soon by the signs. Okay, let me show you, go over this list one more time and then we are done. Remedy for the dead church. Wake up. Number two, remember. Remember how it used to be in your life and get that back. Number three, get your zeal back. I heard Adrian Rogers say, if you don't love the Lord as much as you do the day that you were saved, you've backslidden. You've backslidden. Get that back. There's no crime. Repent. Just get it back. Leave it behind today. Repent. Make it right before you walk out these doors. It's still today. You still can make this right. Get your zeal back. Number four, be revived. Number five, repent. You know, I was thinking, let's add one more to this list. For number six, I would add, is it I? Is it I? I don't need to be revived. I'm fine. Might be you people, but not me. No, you might need reviving, but not me. Oh, you might be dead. Nope. Cameron's dead, but I'm not. Nothing wrong with me. You see, you gotta act. I don't mean to single you out, Cameron. Is it I? How about a little introspection here and not be like Peter that said, I don't care. Maybe all of you people are dead, but I'm not. Number six is it I? Am I the one? Am I the one that's been dead and I didn't even realize it? That's what I would put for number six. We're all capable of doing this. The wrong answer is to say, it might be you, but it's not me. That's the wrong answer. The right question is introspection. Let's do that right now.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.